Wonderful. Good morning. How are you doing? Okay. I'm going to take that was a good response. Isn't it a great day to be going to be praying for Dave and Wendy and the rest of the team and for you as a church? Is this a really good day in your church calendar, in your church history? I know there's lots of things happening, but I'd like you just to, I think God has got something to say to us. And, you know, we need to really get focused in. And it doesn't matter if there's things happening around us. We just need to focus in. I just want to make some comments on leadership. And I want to use it just to launch into something else, if that's okay. Leadership sounds very grand. And you will have had good experience of it and bad experience of it, both inside the church and outside the church. Yeah? This may be your only experience of church, praise God. But you know, you will have had good experience and bad experience of leadership. But I want to tell you that leadership biblically is solely based on servanthood. Leadership is solely about servanthood. The church is God's vehicle. I love the church. And I love the church in all its different forms, whether it be traditional or not so traditional, and just in all its different ways. But you know, you need to love the church, not just your expression of church. And I know some people, they struggle loving the church they attend. But we need to realize that God loves the church so much so that he has purposed, when you look at the church, you may need to look at church differently. You may start to look at church the way God looks at it, because the church is God's vehicle for bringing about his kingdom. If God's going to do anything, he generally does it through his people. And I get really excited because I like to use the phrase that the church is God's vehicle for bringing about his end time movement. I became a Christian in the 70s, and all they ever talked about for about the first 10 years of becoming a Christian was that Jesus was coming back. And it was exciting, and I still believe it. I am 60 years of age this year, which is a shock. I know, you thought I was older. Yeah, okay. But you know, I saved in my late teens, and I still believe, you know, and I've always believed that I will see the return of Jesus. I'm not anticipating dying. I've been close several times. But I'm really not anticipating. I believe that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a glorious church. You might need to look around and just say, I need to look at church differently. But it's true, he's coming back for a glorious, he's not coming back for a church that's on its knees. So change how you think about church. In scripture we see that the church is called the bride, an army, a people, a family. But you know, each of those things as a structure, they have a structure to them. Everything has a structure. And later we're going to be praying Dave and Wendy into eldership, and that's so exciting. Much more exciting than your faces look, okay? It's a real exciting time that we're acknowledging that God is doing something. And he's doing something in them, he's doing something in you. And God is doing it because he's preparing you. You know, primarily as elders, I see that they're there to teach and to guide and to direct the church, not to do everything. You know, as we look in scripture, we see Jesus very quickly comes on the scene, calls his disciples who witness all that he does, and we call them the apostles. And then we start to read through scripture and we see how he appoints, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, blah, blah, blah. And we think, well, that's quite a select group. And then he widens it again. We see the gifts are distributed. We all have a part to play. We all have a contribution. Can I just say, as you read around these gifts and ministries that are in scripture, they are there to strengthen the church. If you read in Ephesians, they are there to bring it to maturity, not dependency and control. Have you ever been there? Dependency and control? It's not very pretty. Get away from it. Run away from it. When we serve, we're there to bring glory to God and strengthen the church, whether we're doing it as elders or just using our gift. But I want to tell you that we all have a part to play. It's really important that we grab a hold of that. There's no hierarchy, as it were. It's servanthood. And just as I start to tell you what was really on my heart, I just want to say this. As I was in Richard's office before, I just was praying, and I just really felt God say, You're in the boat, you're in the water, loose the sails. And you have no control of what happens then, because the Holy Spirit will come and he will fill the sail with his wind. And he will drive you and he will move you to where he wants you to go at his speed. You know, God is doing something in you as a church that is a blessing to you, yeah? Okay, it is. And not only is it to be a blessing to you, it's always twofold. It has to impact the world out there. Whatever God is doing in his wonderful glory, whatever God is doing in within the heart of the church, it has to get out there. Yeah? So it's not because you're having a fantastic time in here and heaven falling in here. If you can't take heaven out there, I don't think it's heaven. Whatever that means. Whatever God is doing in us, if it doesn't translate into our day-to-day life, I doubt if it's God. You know, and I think, you know, as we talk about real leadership will catapult us into dependency on God, but it'll also cause us to get whatever your world is, doing whatever it is you do, they will should feel the impact of what God is doing in your life. What are you guys known for as a church? And I know, I hear lots of great things. You've got amazing favor with the council. Somebody needs to write that in a book, you know, because that is God. This is God. You are in God's provision this morning. And if you don't know the story, find one of the leaders and they'll tell you it. It is amazing. It is encouraging. It is inspiring. Any stage, say amen. Okay, you know, but what are the people out there saying about you? What are they saying to you about you as an individual and as a church? Because you are God's representatives here on air. And you either say amen or ouch. Well, I'm not perfect. That's right. And God never chose perfect people ever. You look at those apostles, some crazy dudes there. You know, don't forget Jesus picked Judas. I can see some of you just thinking he's speaking heresy. No, it's true. Jesus picked them. If you were to ask most people, what do they think about Christians and the church? And researchers have things like they're hateful, angry, hypocritical, anti-gay, and downright mean-spirited. I hope you're saying, not me. Because I don't want to be connected to that type of church. Because that isn't a church filled with the Spirit of God. None of those things are fruit of the Spirit, eh? None of those things do we see in Jesus. Our current culture, the climate that we live in, associated with mean-spiritedness, and people relate that to the church. God help us. And more important, God changes. Because, you know, in church we have all these great aspirations about impacting the world. And usually after we've heard the sermon or had the worship, on the way out, we just park it for a week. Or, when you're ready, Lord. He's like, I'm ready. I've been ready since I gave the Great Commission. According to the Bible, none of these things are what we should be known for. None of them. They're not representative of Christ. But I think, you know, if you've got your Bibles with you, which I'm sure you have, crack them open at Romans 12. And I want to read from verse 9 to 16. Okay, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Don't get them wrong way round. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serve in the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. People who do menial work. And do not be conceited. Well, there's a word for the church, eh? Not your church, obviously. Church down the road. But I do believe that this is what God is saying. We love to bandy the word love around. But love is an action. And before it's an action, it's a choice. It's not an intention. It's an action. But first comes out of choice. And it's thrown around far too easy. You know, in our day, love is associated with tolerance. Or an emotion that drives our lives. Can I just tell you, have you noticed that how the church is called intolerant so often? And sometimes it's misplaced, but other times it's true. Because you only have to look how we are with each other. We're intolerant. You know, we talk about this word love. Well, I don't know about you. But some people like sunsets. I don't know why. I can't get my head around that. And some people like pizza. They love pizza. My son loves pizza. Some people love naps. Some people love cricket, golf, jumping off bridges on a stretchy piece of rope. And they would say, I love this. But, you know, those ideas of love, they're empty of the true meaning of what love is. Because love is sacrificial. It's a different word. In the Bible, love is a choice. It's a mindset. It's a clear step someone has taken. Love always costs something. Love always costs something. Love costs the person who's giving the love. It doesn't cost the person who's receiving anything. You receiving the love of Christ costs you nothing, but costs God everything. I'll say that again. The love that God has given us has cost us nothing, but it cost him everything. So in Romans 12, verses 9 to 16, Paul says, I love Paul. He's a grumpy person. I want to have a great conversation when I get to heaven with him. No, he's a root one grump. You know, he's the type of person you want to go for a drink with in a bar because you think he'll cause a fight. You know, he'll upset the people he's with even. And he's really deliberate in how he talks. Love, let love be genuine. People out there, they know the counterfeit. You know, you can't kid them. They know the real deal. And they are disappointed when you're not the real, when you talk about being a Christian and you're not the real deal. When people think of churches and Christians, they should think and they should look at us and say, they are the real deal. They love the way they talk about loving. And you know what? There's nothing wrong about standing against evil. Because there are times when we have to stand up against evil and say, no, we won't do that. That's the time to get to the streets. That's the time to speak to your MP. That's the time to stand up and say, enough is enough. But you know, we get mixed up. We say, yes, I hate sin. But quite often in church, we're not saying I hate sin. We actually hate sinners. And God loves sinners, but hates sin. We get them mixed up. We'll stop it. We need to honor people, regardless how they speak to us. In churches, we talk about honor and say, well, I'll honor them when they honor me. Or even worse, I'll honour them when they give me something to honour. Ooh, doesn't that come out of brokenness and pride? You know, we honour each other regardless, whether we're great or small. You see, you can honour somebody, you don't have to agree with what they're saying. I can honour what you're saying, I can listen to what you're saying, I don't have to agree with it. You know, let's honour people, let's not get into gossiping about them. You know, let's honour them and let's say, God, just come and move in their lives, give us opportunity to bring about your plans and purposes there. Let's show a better way. Let's model something in our conversations, within our culture. We, you know, the church and the people within it, we've got much to say about politics and the subjects of the day, whether they be political or racial or faith-based things or you know, the whole same-sex marriage thing. We've got a whole lot of things to say. And the church is saying a whole lot of things in a whole lot of the wrong spirit. They want to work in headlines rather than start a dialogue. And what we do, sometimes by default, read the media, read what in the Christian media, read what Christians put on their Facebook. They should be ashamed of some of the things they say because it doesn't represent the love of Christ. And they say, well, it's true. Just because something's true doesn't make it right. It's true. You've got to see it. And we've got to see it from a perspective of love. And we've got to be careful that we don't fall by default into cursing when God has called us to bless. And this is leadership talking. This is a leadership aspect of life that we all need to pick up. Strive, Scripture says, to live in harmony with one another. Don't just not talk to them. Deal with it as much as you can. Do all that you can to live in harmony with somebody. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with all. I believe, and I think that Paul does too, that love in this way is a sacrificial love. And it would turn the tide of our culture. When we speak, you know, what do we want people to hear from us? Listen, the world doesn't need another judge. It needs a savior. And we are his representatives. I believe if we would learn to love truly and correctly, we could turn this world around. Because they would see the love of Christ in us. It would cause people to stop and to take notice. I want to ask you, if you do Facebook, I want you to go and have a look at your Facebook comments and say, are they loving and are they gracious? I mean, maybe you're not one of these crazy people, you know, who put nonsense on. You know, and I don't mind you having an opinion on immigration and all these other things and poverty, etc., blah, 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 blah. And I think we should have an opinion. But for God's sake, can it be in line with His Scripture? For God's sake and the sake of the church, can our opinions be in line with His Word? Not in line with somebody you've heard having a podcast from, yeah? And we start quoting them. You know what? They're not responsible for you. And you're just hearing part of one of their many talks. I'd encourage you, you know, as church, to talk about the issues of the day and to find out, well, what is the Word of God for us there? How should we respond there? You know, God's amazing. Isn't it amazing how you can have Christians in the Labour Party and in the Conservative Party? You know, one thinks like these are the agents of the devil, you know. And even in the Liberal Party. I don't know about UKIP. I generally don't know. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know. And you say, how could you be a Christian and be a Conservative? Very simple. God placed Daniel in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar made Adolf Hitler look like a saint. Nebuchadnezzar, if you want to do a story about, you know, and Darius, I mean, and yet God places His man and His people to save them, to bring about God's purposes. So God can place Christians. It's amazing where you find Christians. It's amazing. Because God is in the business of strategically placing people. And if they're not Christians there, He'll save them and place them there. I want to ask you, as a church, make your contribution. Later when we're praying, Dave and Wendy, and we want to pray for you as a church, that each of you, I don't care how young you are, how old you are, that you would rise up and play your part. Because we are a family, eh? Okay, that's three. Okay, you're a family with lots of visitors. But you know, if you don't play your part, there will be a void. Yeah. Or other people will get tired because they're carrying you. And you may say, I can't do much. That's fine. I'm not asking you to do much. I'm asking you to do what you can do. You know, church, I want to tell you the way we will impact this world, whether you want to call it through revival or whatever. So you can preach. You can preach a revival message. But if you're just full of judgment and anger, you get nothing. But if we would preach the word of God with love, full of hope and peace, we'll see major transformation in our nation. And I want to tell you, I believe it started. I believe as I hear the stories, it started. It may look different than what's happening in America and Korea and everywhere else, but I'm not Korean. And they're probably all saying, praise God. You know, I love our nation. I love America. Passionately love America. Passionately love America. But I'm looking for God to move in our nation. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it started. I believe in my generation, we will see the biggest move of God ever. Bigger than anything that has gone before us. I walk in the footsteps every day of Charles Spurgeon. He was the guy who planted our church. And a whole host of Duncan Campbell, Evan Roberts, Martin Lloyd-Jones, and a whole list of these guys have preached from our pulpit. And I walk around there and day, and I feel like I'm walking in Spurgeon's footsteps. And you know what? I feel, you know what? We're going to finish the job that these guys started. Now I'm 60, you know, and I don't really want to wait much longer. But I believe that it's here. Let's just connect with it. Let's love the way God loves.
How do you follow that? Tony and I are just going to share a few thoughts. And I just always have to say, it's so good to be back. And just great to see how God's moving amongst you. The prayer meeting just before, just amazing. The presence of God. And just in the worship, just it's brilliant. I just love being here. Wonderful. I just quickly want to share a few thoughts that are on my heart. They are kind of about leadership, but Tony's going to share a bit about leadership isn't hierarchical. And actually, what I'm going to share, I think they're principles for living life. So whether you're a leader or not, it doesn't matter. We're all God's children. And I've just got a few thoughts that I'm really passionate about at the moment that I just want to share with you. Just going to read from Acts 20, verse 28. And the context is that Paul's saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. And he's saying goodbye in a way that he might never see them again. So he's leaving some really good stuff. We talk a lot about doing life. You know, how do I do life? How do I put all these things into practice that I know? And he says to them, he's talking to the leaders particularly, but I believe this is for everybody. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He's made us all part of the family, the flock, so we can all look out for each other. But it's the bit I just want to look at for a second is keep watch over yourselves. He's basically saying, look after yourself. And I think in the Western world particularly, we're a bit embarrassed about that. You know, I was brought up we became Christians in the 70s as well. And do you remember the thing that said joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last? Now that's not a bad thing, but actually God calls us to look after ourselves as well. So I don't particularly want to be at the bottom of that list anymore. It's okay to look after myself. And I've just got a few thoughts on how we can look after ourselves. There'll be pressures that come from within and from without. In Scotland, they say from out with. Don't quite know why, but get it the other way around. They do. What are they on about, out with? But actually, from without, within and without. And I know that I'm on this journey as well of just rediscovering what it really means to be a daughter of God. And part of looking after ourselves, I believe, is remaining as sons and daughters. No matter how old we are, how long we've been a Christian, what our gifting is. And the way that I am just really enjoying and exploring doing that is spending time in His presence and just being intimate with Him. And do you know what? I know when I've not been in His presence. I know when I have, but I also know when I haven't. And whether that's corporately, on my own, whatever, whether it's reading His word, worshipping. Worship is so key. It's so fundamental to live life as a worshipper and be in His presence and encounter God. And do you know what? God calls us. This is one of those kind of mysteries that He calls us to be childlike and yet become mature. And so not childish, but actually childlike, so trusting Him, just wanting to be with Him. And, you know, I'm just kind of on this journey of thinking through what does it mean to be childlike and yet mature in Him. He calls us to get off the milk, get onto the solid food, but to be in His presence as a child. The second thought I just want to share is to learn to live as royalty. I noticed a shop just on the roundabout called Princes and Princesses Clothing. Just have a look at that as you go out. It really hit me. I thought, whoa, that's amazing. And living as royalty will not only transform my life, our life, but it'll transform the lives of those around you. As Dave said, as we learn to treat each other with honour and respect. And I believe that only comes from a place of us being secure as sons and daughters, but also as princes or princesses. We can sharpen each other, look out for each other. And you know, if we get it wrong sometime, and if we see one of our family getting it wrong, not coming in and saying stuff like, oh, you got that wrong, but actually, do you know what? That's not really how I see a son and daughter acting. I see a prince or a princess acting. So living as family in that context and living in the fullness of everything God's got for us. And just the last thing before I pass on to Tony, I just want to just shout this. I'm really passionate about this at the moment, is that remembering that God is three persons. We all know it, you know, if we've been around Christendom for however long, we know that. But actually, do we live in the good of that? So Jesus is our Saviour. And what He did at the cross is complete. There's nothing we can do to add to that or take away from it. But yes, He saved us from our sins, but He led us to the Father. That ultimate act of leading us and have it that we can have access to Daddy God. Jesus is also the King of the Kingdom. And Jesus says, I will build my church, but He also says, seek ye first the Kingdom of God. And I just feel, for me personally, I'm on a journey of discovering more of what the Kingdom looks like. And I would just encourage you to take the King of the Kingdom's hand and let Him walk you around the Kingdom and just see what the Kingdom is. Father, like I say, it was the ultimate act of Jesus on the cross to lead us to the Father. Do we know that we're sons and daughters? That our name's written on the hand of God? And just to be with that, just learning more about that, not just in here, but in here. Holy Spirit, He's our counsellor. He was sent after Jesus ascended into heaven. He gets alongside us. So many more things. Let me encourage you to go and explore the Word of God and just look at more of that. So just a time for experiencing and understanding more of the Trinity. I picked up a book, can't even remember it's by, but it's been around for years, and about the Trinity, and I got all excited about it. But you know, it's quite heavy reading, but there's some amazing truth in there. There's a lot of truth in here. Well, it's all truth. It's not just a lot. But actually, you know, reading stuff and learning more stuff about what it means to know the Trinitarian God. And within that, we are family together to encourage each other. And you know, the only way that I know to express that love that Dave was talking about and to be able to love those who say bad things about me or to reach out to somebody that maybe I wouldn't naturally do that is to know that I have a relationship with the Trinitarian God, and it flows out of that, that then I can have the strength to be able to that it can ooze out of my very pores, and we can reach out to all sorts of different people and to love them. So I've written at the end of this, it is all about love, but as Dave said, love is a choice and an action. It's not just a smushy kind of thing, but I can only make those choices when I know that I'm secure in God.
Yesterday morning we had an immense men's breakfast, and I think the suggestion was to produce a bacon sandwich. Anyway, we had a foot-long roll with loads of pieces of bacon in, at least two sausages, and then on top of that, scrambled eggs, tomatoes, mushrooms, you name it. And to be honest, we even went out and had a sandwich at lunchtime, but I should have avoided the sandwich because that was enough for the week. And then both Dave and I spoke, and just after Dave spoke, I just said, look, there's a lot there. We need to, and can I just say, there's a huge amount already been shared, and you need to go back and listen to it again. There may be some people who have got this photographic memory. I'm not blessed with that, okay? I'm just not. But there has been so much shared. Can I encourage you to go back and listen to it in your own time? Otherwise, you're going to miss a lot of the gold that's already come your way. And I'm hoping to add a bit more gold into that. Okay? So don't think, oh my word, how can I remember all this? Can I encourage you, listen to it again, spend time with God, and soak it in so it becomes part of your lifestyle. Okay. I want to talk a different aspect of leadership. I normally have a time, Mike. That's not a criticism, guys. We said we'd share this. So if I start doing this, I apologize because I tend to talk with my hands. Matthew 8 verse 5, this is when a centurion comes to Jesus. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and is in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And then to another, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place in the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And that very hour his servant was healed. This is an amazing story from Christ's life. It really is. And it shows you that the king came in to bring the kingdom, and part of that was healing came. Okay? Healing comes when the king comes and the kingdom comes. Can I say that again? Because I'm not sure we always believe it. I think we'd like to believe it, but when the king comes and he brings a kingdom, healing comes. Jesus instantly delighted in the faith that he heard. The presence of faith changes everything. The presence of faith changes everything. Okay. It's not that that a lack of faith doesn't disempower God. Okay. This is really important. God doesn't get weaker because there's no faith. It just means we are not able to receive what God wants to give us. I think in the past, we've kind of thought, oh, if there's no faith, God gets weaker. No, God is never weak. He never loses power. He never loses love. And he never loses his passion to bless us. But if there's no faith, what it does, it weakens us to receive what he wants to give us. And Jesus was delighted here. He celebrated. That's why he highlighted. Look at the faith in this centurion. This is brilliant. And it was an insight into kingdom authority. The centurion said, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Didn't have to have a big powwow around the servant. Didn't have to people dancing round. Didn't have to lay cloths over him. Okay? He knew Jesus could say the word. And I don't know how many miles it was back to the home where the servant was, but the servant would be healed. This is the kingdom of God at work. It's wonderful. But out of this passage, right, I've seen it taught, right, not about faith, not about healing, but that this somehow was a blueprint for spiritual authority. Okay? And it gets turned into something like, in order to exercise authority, you have to come under authority. Now, Jesus didn't say, look at this centurion, let's structure the kingdom like the Roman army. That's not what he said. He said, look at this man's faith. It wasn't that he was a centurion. It was the faith that the centurion had, because the centurion had an insight into authority. That a command could go out from somebody who'd been given authority, and what he commanded would be done. So when Jesus, who had the authority, commanded healing, it would be done. Does that make sense? But over the years, this has been turned into something called covering. And so in order for Richard, right, and Jacqueline to lead this church, they would have to come under spiritual covering. Okay? And then in order for anybody else to operate in any, you'd have to come under their covering. Now, it sounds already very nice in theory, but I don't think God intended us to become the Roman army, right? And actually, in practice, that was a way of controlling what was being done. Because actually, what lies behind that is a bit of a fear. What happens if Richard goes off the rails? Okay? If he's being covered by somebody, that person can snap him back into line. Okay? And everybody else in the church, if you go off the rails, because you have to operate under their covering, they can pull you back into line. And there's a massive dose of fear mixed into that way of thinking. Okay? I'm not saying it's all fear that's come up with that structure, but there's a massive dose. And what it naturally creates is a hierarchical thinking of church life and kingdom life. Now, it's already been said, there's no hierarchy in the kingdom. We have to get round this. God is king. Okay? Right? But he's raising up as princes and princesses in a royal family, right? And within that, we're all princes and princesses. But we have different giftings and different callings. So if you want hierarchy, there's one, God and his children, okay? Not this layered kind of covering. And I just want to throw out a different way of thinking of covering in terms of apostolic covering, leadership covering, for you to consider. So rather than this chain of command, okay, like the Roman army, so leaders of tens, leaders of hundreds, so he qualifies as a centurion, leaders of a battalion, ultimately right up to Caesar, right? That's not what Jesus was teaching here. And I want to unravel that and say, have a think of covering as you going on an adventure together, recognizing each other's gifts and place and valuing in relationship and covering each other's backs in the process. I've heard it described as, do you know when you get these cop films, these police films, and two go in with guns and one will say, cover me, and one will go in and the other one covers from the back. Okay, that's not an authority arrangement. That's, we're in this together and we're going to protect each other. And I've got your back. So that means that the person who goes in first can have the confidence that nobody's going to sneak up on the back of them. Does that make sense? And it's not a hierarchical thing. it's a kind of on mission relationship. Okay? And you're for me. The first turns leaders into spiritual policemen. You've got it wrong, I'm going to bring some discipline. So you kind of get a call from the head teacher. I want to see you. And we've been in churches where if the leader wants to see you, your automatic assumption is you've done something wrong. It's not a friend coming round to spend time with you. Does that make sense? And actually what God wants it to do is like a family who you love having the family round to see you. Now, if the family's got an issue, you chat it through. But it's not Ofsted, it's family. Okay, as far as I can see, no school in Britain likes Ofsted coming round. Okay? And in fact, we know lots of teachers, and they just go into this nervous role for 3 or 4 weeks in preparation if they get advance notice. And it just ruins their lives. And everybody's on edge, and they can't wait for it to be over. And then they get satisfactory, and they think, we've been working all the hours God sent us, and we're just satisfactory. That's not how leadership is. Leadership has been given to bless the church. Now, God wants you to honour leadership gift, but it doesn't put them in a different status. They're children of God like everybody else. It's a role to serve the church with, to bless you with. And when we like to talk about covering, in fact, we don't use that term much now because it got so distorted, okay? Because it came into this hierarchical kind of supervisory position. We want to see family doing family stuff, but recognizing all the different gifts and attributes and honoring each one. So I want to encourage you, as we pray for Dave and Wendy, I would encourage you, honor them, love them, pray for them, bless them out of their socks. Okay? Find opportunities just to be outrageously extravagant with them. Okay? No, seriously. And that's not because you're crawling. Okay? That's not because you want to get on the good side of them. You just want to bless them as part of the family. Because you've got leaders who want to bless you outrageously. Now, there you've got a church that will speak to the world. Instead of the mean-spirited church that Dave has highlighted, and to be honest, we've been around too much of that, and that's exactly how the world sees the church. We go to Dingwall swimming pool. I'll finish with this. Dingwall is in our local town, and they do happy hours. And for 50p, we can go and swim, use the steam room. 50p, I haven't, and the jacuzzi. I haven't paid 50p since I was a kid to go swimming. But for 50p. Anyway, there's a circle of women that come and do the steam room and the jacuzzi with Kay. I do my 25-30 lounge, and then I come and jump in the jacuzzi for a bit. And the lady there, we start introducing ourselves, and she can't quite picture what I do because I'm not a vicar, but she wants to put me in that role. So, okay, we don't go to church. It's just a load of people who are vicious and tell you what to do. And I said, we don't want to be associated with that kind of church ever, and that's not what God's church is. And I'm really sorry that's your experience of church. And we're slowly, slowly unwrapping all this, but there's such pain behind. Honestly, this is how church... If they see church as lavishly, extravagantly generous, loving one another, honouring one another, not undermining one another, genuinely got each other's backs, where relationship and looking out for one another is more important than agreement, there's a shock. As I said to the guys, I think, yesterday, there's more church planting gone on in Scotland through disagreement than through church planting. Serious. It's tragic. And there's one church we know of in the Highlands that they disagreed about one word in Romans, and they split over it, and they still walk on opposite sides of the road if they see somebody from there. I think, oh my, if we had to wait, or God waited until we fully agreed with him, do you know what? We'd never get saved. I still don't fully agree with God, because there's some things I'm not even aware of that I have to agree, right? And I've got views on things, and the Father said, oh, I wish Tony would get it. But he set his love on me. He loved me because he loves me because he loves me. He's not expecting, he'd love me to agree on everything. But that's not a condition of the relationship. The condition of the relationship is that he loves me, right? That's church. And that's the leaders that we're raising up. We're going to be praying that they enter into that kind of relationship with God. And they look after themselves first, because that'll make them better able to serve you. Honestly, if they get washed out, distant from God, burnt out, they're not going to serve you well. So if God starts blessing them, don't get jealous. Be thrilled, because they'll be a greater blessing to you. The enemy has managed to sow all kinds of weeds into church life, and jealousy is quite a big one. So if we see somebody successful, actually, we don't like that. And some are quite vocal. So we're going to be praying for God to bless your leaders so they're a blessing to you. But also we're going to be praying that God blesses you, and that you each have each other's backs, and that relationship first. So if one gets into a pickle, you know what? You don't push them away. You don't say, oh, you fall into sin. Off. Say, I'm your friend, no matter what. So, leaders, we're going to be praying for you to enjoy God more and more, and to have bigger and bigger hearts, and that there really is no hierarchy, but you each have each other's backs. But also that spreads naturally right across the church. And these guys serve you out of relationship, not out of a hierarchical authority position. They are not the head teachers. Amen. They're not Ofsted. They're family. Amen.
You know, our culture is a part of our culture is about honouring. Within honouring, there is accountability and responsibility, and we are so blessed by the churches, the teams, the couples, the people that we have speaking into our lives. So, as you know, we have Tony and Ursula at Life Springs. We've connected with the Eastgate guys. We've had teams up from here, and we're journeying with them, and we're learning with them, and we're growing with them. But what I wanted to say before these guys come and pray is that we have all of that with Dave and Julie and Tony and Kay. But also, as a leadership team, as a leader church, we see them very much as our spiritual fathers and mothers. So in our culture of being accountable with one another, we're accountable with them as a leadership. Now, the culture we have doesn't mean you sit there saying, yep, that's good, we want them accountable for us. No, you're accountable with me and I'm accountable with you. But we value their oversight. We see their apostolic oversight in our lives. So we've said this before, we will be giving you their details, that if at times you might think, well, I've talked to leadership, I've talked to directors, I'm not getting that accountability or responsibility, I can talk to them. So they are, as it were, part of our wider family. And so that's going to be available to you. But the challenge to us all is being accountable with one another in that. So I just wanted to sort of publicly state, yes, we are in relationship with these, what we call four good corners. But these two guys particularly, we see them as our spiritual mothers and fathers. So you know, just as you care for us, we've got others who care for us as well as leaders. And that's important. So thank you. Now, if you've got young ones, make sure you keep your young ones with you, please. Not let them be on their own, because we're doing this as family together. Okay, so if you've got a young one that's on their own, can you make sure they're with you as family? Because we want to do this as family. So I'm going to give over to you four guys now. And we've given them permission to do whatever they want and how they want to do it.
Wonderful. Okay, we're going to do this in a couple of levels. You all look quite nervous there and scary. Okay, first of all, we're going to pray for Dave and Wendy. And then we want to pray for the rest of the elders. Grab a hold of your lady. Grab a hold of your lady. Okay.
I just prayed this morning that God would just give me a word for you guys. And for you, Wendy. It's quite loud. For you, Wendy, you're such a beautiful woman. And there's such a gentleness about you. And recently, my granddaughter has been watching The Lion King and thinking of Simba as a grown lion. And, you know, when he walks around, there's just something regal and beautiful about him. But you know when he's there, when the roar comes. And I just felt that it was time for the roar to come from within. You know, there is a gentleness and a regalness, and that's not going to go. But I just believe that God is going to put a roar in you, and not to be afraid to raise your voice and let the roar come out. You okay? And for you, Dave, you have such a servant heart for God and the church. And God just showed me the picture of Mary and Martha. And Martha's running around doing this, that and the other. And they're all great things. They were great things for the people who'd come to see Jesus. But Jesus had never asked her to do those things. But Mary understood what Jesus wanted of his children. And that was just to sit at his feet, to love him and to worship him. And the Marthas are great. Church needs the Marthas, but he needs Marys as well. And I just felt that God was saying for you to step back a little bit, be the Mary primarily, you know, and don't rush in to do the Martha. Because sometimes when we do the Martha thing, we're actually robbing other people of doing those things, you know. And so don't worry about not doing something that you see needs doing, but to just have a season and a focus on being the Mary. Is that okay? Father, I just want to thank you for this wonderful woman. Yes. Father, just thank you for your anointing and your calling upon her life. And I pray, God, that you will release the roar in her. I pray, God, that her voice will go out and people will hear it. I pray she won't feel she has to be quiet and simple and maybe somebody will hear this, but God, I just pray she'll know that when you put something in her to share, that there are times when it has to come with a roar. And I pray, God, that she won't be afraid to do that. I pray against any schemes of the enemy that would want to discourage her and tell her, no, that's not from God, just be quiet. But God, I pray for a new era of the roar in this woman. And Father, I just want to thank you for Dave. What a great servant heart. And Father, the church needs the Daves and church needs the Marthas. But I pray, God, in this new season, that he will experience what it's like Amen. To be Mary. Amen. I pray, God, you will take him into a place that he has never experienced before, just sitting at the foot of Jesus and just loving him. I pray he won't be afraid to say no and not run to a task that needs doing, but God, he will know when he should step forward and he'll know when he should just sit still. Amen.
Yeah, I just want to encourage you, particularly Wendy, when Julie was just bringing that about the roar, I just felt God say to me that as you dance and you worship, God wants to kind of reinforce to you how much you release the presence of God, and to encourage you to keep, I just want to encourage you to keep going with that. You're both presence carriers. We're all presence carriers, but I just feel God wants to be written on your heart. You carry the presence of God. And Wendy, particularly as you worship, you release the presence of God and you release the fragrance of God. And that I feel God is wanting to grow you in that more and more.
This is a word for the whole church, as well as for David and Wendy. I just feel God prompt me to release you from expectations, right? God is calling you to be the best Dave and Wendy he created, not to fulfill a role as the leaders, okay? He doesn't want you to become a vicar and wife, okay? Right? And fall into the classic eldership couple mold. He wants you to be you fully in Christ. He wants you to be everything he created you to be. And I just remove even perhaps expectations that you may have. Okay? I just remove them now. Spirit, will you just wash those away and set them free from their own expectations and expectations of others? And I want to set you free as a church. Okay? Don't place expectations on them other than to be Dave and Wendy, and in the fullness of that, because that's when they'll best lead you. Honestly, when they're the best Dave and Wendy they can be, that's when they'll most bless you. Don't say, they should be doing this. I thought they would do that. Now they're leaders. They've got to do this. That's their response. No, release them from it. And Christ's passion is repeated again and again in Scripture. He wants you to be filled with the fullness of Him. That is a remarkable vision, to be filled with the fullness of Jesus. And Lord, we now just set them free to be as you created them to be, and to be filled with the fullness of Jesus. And we pronounce them. I want to pronounce you, not elders or leaders, but Dave and Wendy. Because that's how you're going to be known for eternity. You're not going to be known in heaven as elders. You're going to be known as Dave and Wendy. And you're going to be known as sons and daughter. Okay? And Lord, that's who we free them to be right now in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for Dave and Wendy, Lord. We just thank you for them, Lord, plain and simple. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, we ask that you would pour out from heaven your grace, your mercy, and your love in abundance. I pray, Father God, as they continue to love you and walk with you and to serve, but that they will know new measures of grace, mercy, and love, Father God. And we recognize, Lord, your hand upon their lives. We recognize that, Lord, and we want to say we honor that today. Amen. Amen. Could we just have the rest of the leadership team? Do you want to give them?
Chris and Liz.
Yeah. Chris and Liz. Jane. Yes, they are.
Wonderful. Okay, maybe as church you want to just come and gather around them. And then, let's go. Yeah, there's room around the back. Fill in. Okay, this is, I know it's a bit focused. I know we've got little ones, but let's mark this. Let's put a marker down. This is, we're praying for your team. His team serving you. Okay. Can you stretch forth your hands towards them? Father, we thank you for these men and women. We thank you for their heart to serve you. We thank you, Lord, for their heart to walk with you. Lord, we thank you for their heart to serve your people. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just knit their hearts together, even closer together. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them and you would strengthen their families. We pray, Lord, that you'd give them eyes to see what you're calling them to see, and eyes to see where you're calling them to go. Father God, bless them. Lord, we ask you, Father God, to bless them. Bless them in every area of their lives. Lord, that they can lead with a passion. That they could lead with a passion. That they can serve with a passion. Lord, we thank you for them.
Yeah, I just felt when we walked into the building this morning, the worship team were practicing, and then again during the worship, and then one of the ladies, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name, but you were singing in Portuguese, and that really, really hit me. Lana, is it? Yeah. Milana, yeah. Thank you. It was wonderful. And I'm a bit sensitive to smells, and during the week we'd been making some Mexican food, and I love coriander and the limes and the chilies, and I smelt it. And at that point, I thought, oh, there's something really significant in this. And as I was listening to the worship in Portuguese, it almost like I smelt a fragrance of the nations. And I said to God, what do you want me to do with that? And I sat on it for a bit. And I just feel now that this is a really significant day for the church. And God is doing so much in the church here, in the family here. But I really feel he's releasing the fragrance of the nations over you. And in the past, I was just thinking about this, in the past it had been, okay, let's get a team to Africa, let's get a team to Mexico. But I don't feel that's the essence of it. It's more a heart change. And I really feel God's doing something in the heart of this team that will then release more into the church. It may be in other individuals in the room as well, that he's releasing the fragrance of the nations. He has a big heart for the nations. And as we've travelled and seen different nations worship, you think, wow, that's what God looks like. And I really feel he's releasing that into you, and like an enablement of seeing the bigger picture of what God is doing, and that his love will flow out of this place in a massive, massive way, and that others will be attracted to this place because they just know the presence of God is here. And don't be surprised if you start to see lots of folk from different nations in your midst. I just pray that for this church, that, oh Lord, the love that flows out of here would reach many, many people, whatever colour, whatever race, whatever background, and that this place would be known as a place where there is the fragrance of the nations that are in God's heart. Amen.
Okay, if you want to pull in, I'm going to ask Julie and Tony just to pray for you as a church. Maybe you'll get together, you know, your family, get a bit closer, get around each other, maybe even put your hands on each other, let's go wild, or hold hands, or let's go really asthmatic. Yeah, or charismatic immense. And I'm going to get Tony and you to pray.
Just before I pray, I'd just like to share a word with Richard and Jackie. And I had a picture, Jackie, of a huge pan lid over your head. You know, like the sort of massive pans that caterers have. And there's this huge pan lid over your head. And I just felt that God was wanting to take this lid off. But your hand was coming and pulling it down. And God is saying, let me take the lid off. And, you know, as leaders, we're probably the most insecure people on the planet. And, you know, out of fear or disappointment or self-doubt, we'd want to keep the lid down. So, you know, we'll let it leak out when we feel confident. But God says, trust him, let him take the lid, and let all that he has put in you start spilling out, because there is so much more that he has for you. And for Richard, I saw a picture of, you know, in the Olympics, the podium for medals, and you were on the bronze step, and God was saying, I want you to step up onto the winner's step, to believe in yourself, to believe and have confidence in God and what he's done in you, to step up to that. Then it was to step in with confidence in what he's anointed you to do, and then to step out into new ground. You know, God has his favor on your life. He's got his favor on this church. So step up, step in, and step out, Richard. Father, I just want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for such a wonderful group of people that you have placed here. But God, as they plan to extend on this building, God, you are going to just throw the walls out, Father, because yes, you have got such a bigger vision for this church than what's in this room and what the extension is. And I pray, God, that you'll release this body here into this community, that they will touch and they will infect the lives of all those around them. And I pray, God, for a mighty, mighty harvest in Jesus' name.
Amen. Two things I want to, first one, I just want to pray for you. Lord, just as already Julie's kind of pointed at, we just want you to release multiplication right now on the family here. Lord, I want to pray for all those people who are not here yet, but are going to be saved and added to your kingdom through the family here. Lord, I'm praying them in right now. Bring the lost into this family, Lord. Lord, give this family big arms to embrace lots of people. We call them in right now from the east, the west, the north and the south, from all over, from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of people, from the nations. Lord, add them to this family. Release multiplication, Lord. Release fruitfulness, Lord. And I just pray that you'll put the confidence and the faith in each one, so that every one of you sees yourself as a growth point. Every one of you. That it's not just for a few that might be called evangelists, but every one of you are a natural growth point on this family. And the second thing is, I just want to apply what I spoke earlier to the team. Can we just put our hands on the backs? If you, from K and I, we want to say, we've got your backs. Okay? This isn't just lightweight words. We've learned by our own experiences what that means. And we just want to say, we have your backs. Church, we want to say, we have your back. Okay? We have your back. Again, this is our heart's passion. It may take us a few hours to get down from Inverness, okay? But we've got your back when you need it. We have your back. More importantly, I believe God's got your back. But I just want to invite all the church now, while you're surrounding your leadership, I'm going to invite you to say, we've got your backs, to the leadership team, okay? Now, that's a big ask. If you're not ready to say it, don't just say it just because I'm asking you to. This, we're asking a big thing here, and it's got to be something that comes from the heart and in faith, and not just be a religious thing to do on a Sunday or because Tony's asked us to do it. But for those who can say that, I invite you now just to put your hands on the back of the leadership team and just say with one voice, we've got your backs. Go on, shout it out. Team, did you hear that? Thank you so much.
So just to close, I wonder if you could, maybe we could say the grace together. I mean, it might be a bit strange for you. Might sound a bit Anglican, but it's okay. It's based on scripture. Good Berean prayer. Okay, it's on the screens. Okay, let's say it together and look at each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys.
I will. Yeah. Okay.